2 Kings chapter number 4. And look with me in verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid, read with me, hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight, Lord, asking that you'll be with me. I pray that you'll get my nerves out of the way. You'll set those aside, Lord. I pray that you'll cleanse me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, that I'll be worthy to preach to these people, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll hide me behind the cross, that they won't see a 17-year-old boy up here, Lord, that they'll see you. I pray, dear God, that you'll be with us. You'll help us to learn something, Lord, because I know I learned something new today as I was studying. I pray that you'll use me as a vessel, and the people will get a blessing out of it, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that whatever is said and done, that everybody will learn something, and that you'll get all the glory and the praise for it. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you that nobody in your immediate family would ever get cancer. I wish I could stand here and tell you tonight that every friendship in this room would work out and would be all rainbows and fun, but I can't do that. I wish I could stand here and tell you that no one would ever have to go through the hardship of losing a close friend. I wish I could tell you that no one in this room would ever have to go through the hardship of losing a family member. I wish I could tell you that from here on out it's going to be smooth sailing. But no one in this room has the authority to tell you that tonight. Life can have some unexpected curves along the way. I can tell you that there are some people in this room that have gone through things in the past year that they could have never dreamed of. I wish I could tell you that you never have to go to a graveside and lay someone in the ground that you love so much that you felt like you had to bury a piece of yourself with them. But I can't tell you tonight. Can I say that being saved doesn't exempt us from the hardships and trials of this life? But it does give us the promise that we won't have to go through them alone. You may say this doesn't sound like a good sermon, but bear with me. Let's hope it gets better. The Word of God is specific in this text about a woman that has just lost her husband. And back in the day in Bible times, the husband was the main source of income for the family. So what this woman finds out is when her husband dies, the bills don't stop. When her husband dies, the debt keeps coming. So she finds herself in debt up to her eyeballs. So then what happens is, A bondman comes and says, I'm going to take your sons to... Oh, well, the creditor comes, I'm sorry. And says, I'm going to take your sons as bondmen and they're going to work until that debt is paid off. She's still crying about the loss of her husband. And then the creditor comes and says, now I'm going to take your two sons. Just put yourself in her shoes for a second. She's lost her husband. Now she's in debt. And now she's going to lose her two sons. We can find a lot of good things about what this woman did. Firstly, we see that she ran to the man of God. She didn't run to the world. When things went south, she ran to the man of God. And may I say that if we've ever needed a preacher, and if we've ever needed a choir, and if we've ever needed a church, it's when things go south. But if things go south, we run to the world. A lot of Christians these days are called fair-weathered Christians. They're going to serve God when everything is good, but when everything goes south, they're going to run to the things of the world. Satan tries to keep us away from church when things go south just because he knows the positive influence that the church is going to have on us. This is the reason that God has assembled a local New Testament church, that we can come here preaching. We can come to our friend and they can encourage me. And they can come to me and I can encourage them. He made the local New Testament church for when the days are dark. So I'm going to speak to you tonight on this phrase, what to do when there's nothing left. What to do when there's nothing left. Number one, we see, go look again. So this woman has nothing left, per se. And she goes to Elisha, and the first thing Elisha says, read with me in verse number 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. She finds a little vessel of oil because she went and looked again. And that's all she has. May I say, sometimes the devil will come by and say, you don't have anything left in your life, but we've got to go look again. I found out that God has never left a Christian with absolutely nothing. He will supply for you and do the plan in your life that He has chosen for you. David said, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. I dare you to quit listening to the devil tonight and look at your life and go look at what you have. You can look at what you've lost, or you can look at what you have left. I try to choose in my weakest days of my life. I get to that secret place, and I can go thanking God for the silly little things in my life that you would hardly ever think about. Because may I say, sometimes to get you out of your little slump that you're in, it's going to take you thanking God for those little things that you always look around. I'll go get in my little quiet place, and I'll go, thank you for a godly mom and dad. Whoever does that. God, thank you for a grandma and a nana and a papa that have such a positive influence in my life that I love so much. Thank you for a good Sunday school teacher for the past 4 years that I know for a fact I can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and he'll be glad to answer my questions. Thank you for a Wednesday night teacher that has been so such a friend more than a teacher. We can go thanking God for Jesus dying on the cross and taking the sin debt for me and for you. When you go look again, you can call the devil a liar because you can see some things you didn't see the first time. Grief can be blinding. There can be blessings right in front of you, but you're so down in the dumps that you can't see them. I dare you tonight to go find you a still place and just thank God for the things near you. May I say, when you do that, it is possible to have church without being in church. May I say, if the only place you ever have church is in church, you're missing out. Because I know for a fact I'll be in my car sometimes and a good gospel song comes on and I'll start cleaning ditches out on the left and the right. Thank you, God, for that mailbox. Thank you, God, for that grass. We need to thank God that He's a God of the mountain and the valley. He's not just a God on the mountain, but He's a God also in the valley. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That little vessel of oil that we see in this scripture is a perfect example of the Holy Spirit. When we've got nothing left and we go look again, it's right there. It's been there the whole time. It never went anywhere. We were just blinded. We couldn't see it. I've seen people that didn't have two dimes to rub together, but were the happiest people in the world. That was because they thanked God for what they had left compared to what they could have. There's a reason that all these Hollywood stars and all these millionaires and billionaires are killing themselves every day. There's a reason that they're falling into the world of alcohol and drugs, because they can't find the what God has for them. They can't find that peace, so they go to the things of this world rather than running to God. Go look again, and you'll find that there are some things that are still there. Little is much when God is in it. Number two, leap. Sometimes in this Christian life, it takes faith, a leap of faith, if you will, to take what you have left and to take it out of your hands and give it to God. God knows it is an act of faith to take what you have left, and to give it to Him. God's man requires her to take this little vessel of oil and take it back to her house and gather as many other vessels as she can. The woman didn't say, "But Elisha, why? Elisha, but that doesn't make any sense." You know what she did? She went, and she did it. He wants her to go home and lock the doors and start pouring that oil into the other vessels. Sometimes God will require us to do something that doesn't make sense, but we have to do it by faith. One preacher said one time that if there's not one thing in your life that makes absolutely no sense, you're not living by faith. Sometimes God will require us to do things that doesn't make sense. God does not work on our schedules. He works on His schedule. I know a lot of people like to have things a certain way and a certain, I'll do this at a certain time and I'll do this at a certain time. And may I say, I went to camp thinking I was going to come home and be a pilot. And where am I at tonight? I'm preaching. I was set that I was going to go to school and be an aviator. I was going to fly for the rest of my life. And look where I'm at now. And I'm going to read verse 3. Then he said, "Go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. God requires more of us than giving just 10%. God requires us to give Him our time, our talent, and to give Him what we have left. We serve a God that is attracted to faith tonight. He's attracted to faith. So she goes and she pours out, and she's got to be having doubts in her mind, but she follows the commands that the preacher man gave to her. She's poured out, per se. How many of you know that God isn't going to leave her hanging? I can see one of those boys pacing around the house just like this. Just walking around. "Oh, I got to work until we got to get all this debt paid off." And then he's looking at that oil. And one of those empty vessels that he was looking at before, he catches a little glimpse of something. And he goes, "Hmm." And he looks in it. He picks it up and he, "Hey, Mom, there's oil in this vessel." And he puts it back down. "Hey, Mom, this one's full too. Weren't all of these just empty?" And he pulls out his phone and he wants to Facebook it. That way everybody will believe him. "Look what God just did." And he goes and he looks in these vessels and he sees that the oil is growing. It's growing. There's becoming a more of an abundance of oil. I believe it happened just as much as I'm standing here tonight. I believe it just as much as I'm standing here on this stage tonight. Nobody could explain it. Nobody could provide for it. This was an act of G-O-D, God. So leap. May I say that if you keep what you have and never find the faith to give it to God, you may never find the miracle that He has in store for you. I'm scared that one of these days I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to say, "Come here, Joe." And He's going to pull me to the side. And there He's going to have a filing cabinet. And He's going to pull out a drawer. "Joe, look at all these things I could have done if you would have had faith in me." He's going to close it, and he's going to pull out another drawer. Joe, you were this close to doing that, but you didn't have the faith to put your trust in me. Let me ask you this. What do you have in your life tonight that you could pour out to God? We've all got something. I've got something. I know God has never saved a person just to sit on a pew. We need to say, God, I don't have much left, but I want to give it to you. God, I can carry a tune in a bucket sometimes, so I'm going to go sing in the choir. God, I may not be the best singer, but I can hold a door open for someone. God, you know, I may not be very good at holding doors, but I'll be an usher for you. God, I'll be a soul winner. I'll go tell the lost and dying world about what you did for me and what you did for my brother and what you did for my sister. Because it doesn't stop with me, God. I can't do much with it myself, but when I give it to God, He can do mighty and wondrous things. I like to think about the little boy that had a few fish and some bread. And Jesus asked him to bring it to him. And that little boy brought it to him and gave it to him without asking questions. That was that little boy's lunch. But he had enough faith that Jesus was going to do something with it that he gave it to him. And what did Jesus do? He fed the 5,000. So we see that God did a miracle, but it took faith. So we see that you have to leap. And lastly, we see that you have to look ahead. Look ahead. May I say tonight that we need to quit being so down in the dumps. Times may be rough. Times may stink. But we've got to look ahead because God can still do great things. May I say tonight that Jesus is going to come back one day for the church. And it could be before we get out tonight. I'd be happy with not finishing the sermon. I'm sure you'd be happy with it too. We can look ahead to that great day with hope and with joy that no one else in this world can have. I'm glad that we serve a God that can save the drunkest of drunk, the highest of drug addicts, the worst of all the murderers, or even the preacher's kid. He can save anyone, anywhere, anytime. I'm glad we don't serve a God that has requirements and characteristics to get saved. Amen. It don't matter what color you are. Thank goodness it don't matter how fit you are, how pretty you are, how rich you are. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that whosoever, not the rich man, not the poor man, not the drunk, not the murderer. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May I say that we need to look ahead because we've got a better day coming. We need to thank God for dying on that old rugged cross for me and for you. We need to look ahead for the things that He's going to do in our lives. We need to thank Him for 2,000 years ago when He was on that cross, He looked ahead in time. For when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And you were on His mind. We serve a God that's great. A God that's great. And I said this Sunday night, and I finally figured a way out how to work in this illustration because I love it so much. In Civil War times, there was a man and a woman, and they were married. And the woman was very sick and dying to cancer. And she didn't have much time left. And she spoke to her husband and said, can you possibly try and get our two sons that are fighting in the war to come home and see me one last time before I pass away? And he says, yes, honey, anything for you. So he gets on his horse and he rides to the Capitol where Abraham Lincoln was. And he rides up to the house that Abraham Lincoln is in and he's working at. And he comes up to the front doors and there's two armed guards. And he says, sir, I'd like to get in. And the guards go, Sir, I need to know why. Who are you? Why are you here? What's your rank? Stuff like that. So the man goes into the whole spiel. You know, I've just ridden here from way yonder, and I need to speak to Abraham Lincoln because my son is dying of, my wife is dying of cancer. And I'd like to get my two sons back home so they can see her before she finally passes away. And the guards laugh in his face. They say, you know what? We can't do that. Of what authority are you to come here and just require us to let you do that? So the man tries and he tries, and finally he realizes that those guards aren't going to give in. So he goes off and he finds a bench on the side of the yard where a little boy is playing, and he starts to cry on that bench. He sits down, and that little boy is kicking the ball. He's running to go get it, kicking it back, and out of the corner of the eye, a corner of his eye, this little boy catches a glimpse of this man off to the side crying on a bench. And the little boy comes up to him and says, "Sir, what's the matter with you? Sir, what's wrong?" And the man goes, "Son, you wouldn't understand. I'm not going to tell you." And the son goes, "Sir, what is wrong with you?" You know how all the little kids do it. "Sir, what is wrong with you?" The man goes, "Son, you're not going to understand. I'm not telling you." "Sir, what is wrong with you?" So the man finally gives in and he goes, "You know, I'm here because my wife is dying of cancer. My two boys are fighting in the war. And my wife would like to see them one time before she passes away." And the son goes, "So you're telling me that you're here to see Abraham Lincoln to get your two sons back home so they can see their mom before she dies?" The man goes, "Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm here for." And you know what that little boy does? He stands up real quick and he grabs that man by the hand and he says, "Follow me, sir." And he walks up to those front doors where those two guards are. And they say, "Sir, are you again?" And then they look down. They see that little boy and they're like, "Right this way." Then they come up to the next set of doors. There's some more guards. They see that man, and then they see that boy, and they're like, "Right this way, sir." They come up to another set of doors. The exact same thing happens. And then they come up to the big doors where Abraham Lincoln is behind. And this time, the boy doesn't even knock. He just walks in. And you know what he says? "Daddy, this man's got to speak to you." And may I say tonight that that's the exact same thing Jesus does for each and every single one of us. When we could not reach high enough, He reached way down that much further. He's a God that's so powerful, He can take my black heart, dip it in red blood, and it come out white as snow. I'm so glad that we serve a God that is so big and great that we can go to Him wherever we are and say, "God, can you help me with this?" And He hears that prayer. We serve the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the sweet rose of Sharon and the great I Am, the way, the truth, and the life, Peacemaker, Jehovah God. He's a God that has so many names I couldn't even put them all on paper. He's so great tonight. I'm glad tonight that we're not serving a dead God. He's as alive as me and as Joshua and as Skyler. He's as alive as just as we are. And I'm definitely glad tonight that we're not serving dead Muhammad. We're not serving fat Buddha. We're not serving his mother Mary. And we're definitely not serving a cow that used to be our grandma. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. We serve a God that loved each and every one of us so much that He died for me. If it would have been just me, He would have still came and died. If it would have been just you, He would have came and died for you. So we serve a God tonight that can take your broken heart, and when there's nothing left, He can supply for you. He can fix that broken thing that's in your life. So may I say tonight that go look again. Leap and look ahead. and God will do great things in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, thanking you for what you've done in my life so far, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll help me to keep this fire in my heart that I have for you right now, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching me something today as I studied. I thank you, Lord, for showing me that you're real in my life, Lord. Thank you for saving souls this past Sunday and continuing to save on Monday, Lord. Thank you for showing me that you don't just save people at church, you save people anywhere. And thank you, God, for what you've done. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help us and you'll help the pastor. I pray, dear God, that you'll help him to stay physically able and in shape, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll help a revival to sweep across this nation, because that's what we need. The only thing that's going to get America back to you and to get us out of the hole that we're in is a great revival, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that it won't start with the preacher, that it won't start with Joshua or Skylar, that it'll start with me, Lord. Because what a fire does is spread, dear God. I pray, dear God, that we'll realize that a revival doesn't just happen. It's got to start with one person first. And we love you, Lord, and thank you for all you've done. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.